Blog Talk Radio.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
Insight. I'm Daniel Michael, and we're still awaiting Darren Bouquet. I see there's somebody in the queue, maybe him. Tonight's topic is zombies, and zombies are really becoming popular in pop culture. I personally don't understand the modern zombies that are all fast and can do backflips and all. To me, it contradicts the very notion of what the whole thing was about, but that's okay. Everybody has their own way of seeing things. And, of course, Spiritual Insight is just one of six shows on the Main Street Universe Radio Network. Of course, tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Sundays, is Spiritual Insight with your host, Darren Bouquet. On Monday evening is Walking on the Sidewalk with Kevin Baird, who can be reached at www.templeofgaia.com. Kevin's show is on 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Then on Tuesdays during the day, the a.m., about 10:30, is Inner Wisdom with Mary Phelan. And Mary has been a television host for 14 years with her show Telepathic TV. And she is as well with us here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network. On Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time is the flagship show that started it all, Main Street Universe. This week we'll be doing a Lunasa, or Lamas, ritual on the air. Thursdays at 1 o'clock p.m. is Uatau with Queen Mother Imaku, who specializes in the Kemetic, or original Egyptian, African-Egyptian connection. A lot of people forget that Egypt is, in fact, in Africa, and technically not a Middle Eastern country, as it's sometimes portrayed. So that'll be 1 p.m. Eastern, a high priestess of the Kemetic tradition, Queen Mother Imaku, and Tua Uatu. On Friday evenings, we now have a new host who's starting, and his show will be on debuting this Friday, and his name is Dave Adams, and his show is called Adams in the Eve, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, so check that one out. And then Friday midnight is Jesse Ann Nichols George with Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. And Jesse is the author of two books, Activating Compassion and Activating the Compassion Workbook, Companion Workbook. Forgive me, I'm a little bit tired this evening. It's been an extremely busy weekend. So right now, we are now technically, at least as of this next week, 7 shows. And we can put more on the schedule with good communication and working things out. Coming back into town is Evan Pass, the former host of Zariana Radio. And Friday the 16th, I'm going to be airing a rerun of his first show. He was with us for quite a few months. He believed in creating his own pantheon, and he created the goddess Zara as the main goddess figure in his pantheon, and he will be reading The Epic of Zara and the Clay Pots. And Evan is an amazing writer, and I encourage you to tune in for his amazingly descriptive and detailed writing style. But I see that in the queue, Darren Bouquet is here. The phone lines are open for readings, and I see there's someone in the queue. I'm going to go ahead and bring on our host for Spiritual Insight, Mr. Darren Bouquet. Welcome, Darren.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Spiritual Insight. I am Darren Bouquet, and tonight we were going to talk a little bit about the phenomenon, the idea, and the thought process behind the word zombies, or the undead. Well, not the undead necessarily, but reviving or reanimating the dead on some levels. So that's what we're just going to kind of dip into this evening. The whole idea behind it, is it a possibility? And the phenomenon that people have documented in some, Caribbean nations, parts unknown, and some eyewitnesses to it. So I can definitely share a little bit about what I know, and we can discourse with some people about, you know, what their thought process is, or have they seen anything legitimately in person, or what their thoughts are on it.
So, yeah. And not exactly related, but with perhaps similar imagery, and something we've talked about before. I was driving down the road the other day, and it was actually yesterday, and there was a giant deer that was dead on the side of the road, a large deer carcass, and a humongous turkey vulture feeding it, one by himself, not a flock, but it was, or there might have been,
huge turkey vulture.
And I think we talked about vulture imagery before, and that you kind of had a slight fascination with vultures yourself. And I saw it, and I thought of you when I saw that, because I think we talked about that once.
I do love turkey vultures. I don't know what it is about.
Impressive bird when you're in their presence. You know, when you see something on picture, it can be so different than in real life or even on a movie. And this thing was right next to the car. And
well,
it's so
their beak is such a, it's like a scalpel. It's just like razor sharp, and it's really got that like prehensile hook at the end of it almost.
Yeah. And just big. I mean, it was almost as tall as this little car. They get to be like, you know, 3 feet tall, or so, about 33, 34 inches or something like that, I think I've seen. Just, they're just big, tall.
Can I coach you on that?
Yeah.
I was just told that their beak is good for tearing and separating like an aneurysm hook.
Oh.
So, I thought I'd share that. At any rate, we have an interesting topic. I mean, why? Okay, let's jump into this. Why are zombies so popular lately? Let's talk about that. Do you have any idea?
Yes, I do want to say that we
I'm
do have
a little baffled myself. Yeah,
I do want to mention and let the caller know that they're recognizing they're there, and we'll get to your reading in just a minute.
Oh, so, yes, we will. Yes, we will.
We just want to brush on the topic at least a little bit, and then maybe relate it to the reading. Now, zombie culture is popular, I think, for a couple different reasons. I'll start with one.
Mm-hmm.
One, it might be really popular now because of dealing with, maybe there's a slight popularity swinging back around, just like when I was a kid in the 1980s, about apocalypse. Because a lot of these movies are apocalyptic.
Mm-hmm.
In a possible way of how things are going to... Have people gotten interested in this doom and gloom apocalypse? When I was a kid in the 80s, it was all nuclear war. You know,
uh-huh.
I mean, I was also a kid in the 70s when things were chilled and laid back and awesome.
Well, you have that, but then you also have in the 80s, too, a lot of the George Romero stuff popped up again. He redid the whole The Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead and all that stuff. So, Return of the Night of the Living Dead. So.
And can I also comment on the fact that I don't like the fast-moving zombies that are acrobats.
That are Russian gymnasts and...
The whole zombie thing is not about that this one creature that's attacking you is some amazing, you know, beast with all these powers and athletic ability. It's about a whole bunch of beings overcoming you slowly. Like the old movies, like the original ones in the 60s and all of that, were about, the theory was, okay, maybe it's even a disease and they're moving in slowly, and it's or even about how people can be brainwashed, and so it slowly happens and it slowly takes over. To me, it defeats the purpose if you have that zombie that can fly. That's just retarded, in my opinion.
Watching World War Z, as much as I did enjoy a lot of the elements, and it just... The sheer ridiculousness of, what was going on. They were running. They were pounding their faces through car windows. I mean, it was just like, and the whole idea behind it is the whole, like, rabies thing. You know, dogs, like Cujo. Cujo had superhuman dog strength or whatever because he was on rabies or the vampire bat.
I like the idea of the suspense of the original Dawn of the Dead of they're removing in slow, and what do we do? Instead of this whole, if you encounter, because, and in fact, one-on-one, you can probably take one of these things. But it was the idea of being overwhelmed by the numbers that was the scary part, not the athleticism of the one that's coming at you. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do against those great numbers?
Well, I just had some input here from one of our previous guests. Who, again, this is someone in the mortuary sciences business here in New Orleans. And I quote, zombies are a way to be close to death. It's Western culture trying to cope with yet deny the inevitable. That makes sense. So that's an interesting way to look at it, definitely. I mean, it's another way. I mean, vampires are always something like that, but there's no romance with the zombies, even though we somehow came up with a movie about romance with a zombie. I don't know.
If you notice, I don't know if you saw the pictures on my marquee page. As a contrast, I actually did type in the one I was looking for images, pretty zombie, to try to give it a little bit. Now, there were two female faces in there. I don't know if the first one I'd call necessarily pretty, but they weren't quite as ugly and horrid as most of the pictures that came up. The second one actually was downright pretty. And I kind of did that on purpose for a little, like, contrast, you know. The second one's a girl weeping and her tears are blood. And a really cool painting, actually, that I used for...
It's interesting. It's interesting. I have a zombie tarot deck that my wonderful friend Erica purchased for me for my birthday last year, and I've used it. I let people always pick their tarot deck, so when they come into the store, you know, I'll say, which deck do you want to use? And if I bring it in and they pick it, I'm going to use it. But it's all like 1950s, like nuclear family meets zombies eating everyone. You know, so it's very I'm not like late 50s, early 60s, you know, that whole like Leave It to Beaver thing happening. But it's interesting. I don't do it often. I don't bring it in often, but people seem to not be thrown off by it too much.
And, Darren, that reminds me, what was the name of that store that you were reading at for a while? It was Reverend?
Reverend Zombies House of Voodoo, yeah. Indeed. Mm-hmm. Reverend
and
Zombies House of Voodoo, Reverend Zombie or Dr. John was one of the instructors to Marie Laveau, was kind of her peer and her mentor in some ways. Her real mentor, of course, being her grandmother and her great-grandmother. But at any rate, Dr. John was also known as Reverend Zombie, which we have two stores. So Marie Laveau's is our main store on Bourbon, and then we have a huge store, which is kind of our emporium full of arcane objects and paraphernalia and things like that. And that is on St. Peter, right across from Pat O'Brien's and Preservation Hall, like the eminent jazz club of the city. So, but it's really amazing, and yeah, we have all sorts of zombie iconography in there. It's really pretty wild. Let's take this caller, and then maybe we can talk a little bit about to my knowledge, examples of actual zombies. I can tell you, my good friend gave me a real credible eyewitness report of an actual zombie. So I can share a little bit about some of that after this caller, if we want to do that. Okay.
770, you are on the air with Darren Bouquet.
Hi, Darren. How are you?
Oh, incredible. Incredible. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Talking about zombies, huh?
Zombies?
People just act like zombies. They feel like a zombie sometimes.
Well, I want to touch on that tonight, too. I mean, sometimes we just can't. There that apathy sets in, or the lack of energy, or maybe it's anemia, and we're just not there. We're not. We're on autopilot.
Yeah, sometimes. That is very true. Sometimes you feel like you space out. You're right.
I don't care for that very much. I usually make it my mission to, like, wake people. The person that goes up and I'm, like, doing backflips trying to get that person to kind of, you know, be there or be present in the situation. But we all feel like that at some point. I think so,
because I definitely have felt that way, you know, like, whoa, what's going on? I'm looking at someone but don't see them. You see me? Oh, I didn't see you.
They're not there. Now, that could also be a spiritual thing. One thing, I brought it up before, but I had a client in D.C. that came in and asked me to ask my spirit guide if she was actually there, if she was actually present. And I asked my spirit guide, and my spirit guide said no. So, okay then. I guess she wasn't really there. I'm like, I'm talking to you. But her spirit was, like, almost ready to leave her body.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm like, this is one of the weirder moments I've had in my life. But yeah, I mean, that could be it. You know, some people don't want to be here. And they're doing their thing. You know, they're just waiting to ascend to the next level.
If they don't want to be here, why did they come in? Why did they choose to come in then?
I'm sorry, can you say that again? I apologize.
I say, some people don't want to be here, I say, but they chose to come in, right?
Oh, maybe they initially did. Maybe they gave up. Maybe they. You ever been? Oh gosh, I don't know. You ever played a video game and you just started and you think, oh well, I really screwed up this time. I just want to hit restart and go to the next thing and start over.
Yeah, I've
done
that. Similar to that. Yes.
Mhm. I see when I look at, like, when I get to see people, some of my clients, a lot of my clients I do, you know, I do readings on the phone and that sort of thing, but I do see clients in person at the store 4 days a week, and when I see them in person, I can see a whole stratum of different lives, past lives, and things like that, and I will see chronic people who leave this life all the time, and they'll get ready to jump to the next life with, like, nobody's business, and because a lot of their past lifelines are very short.
Oh, I see.
So you can see it's almost like a, and then I'll look on their lifeline, and lo and behold, their lifeline's short.
I see. Okay. So they came back to say,
so that they're not very hopeful for the future. So if they're carrying that to the next life, unfortunately, that might be the next life too. So I feel like my job at that point is to say, well, why? What about your life doesn't make you want to be present, and how can we change that? You know.
Okay, so you can change that. Yes, I guess you're right. You can change it because of free will, right?
Yeah. Yes, you can change it because of free will, and of course that's biblical. You know, a lot of people kind of get up in arms about some of my thought process or whatever, but free will is biblical. You know, it's God has a plan and that sort of thing, but he also gave us free will. So if you want to, you know, you can change your mind. I totally believe that.
Yeah.
And
you know, I have always said I believe that some people will themselves out here early. Maybe I was right by saying that. They don't want to be.
Yeah, I totally believe you're right.
Tired.
I mean, you sabotage yourself, and I hate to say, you know, I hate to be on an internet radio show damning social media, and I'm not trying to do that because I'm probably as guilty as the next person. But, I mean, social media will take you out of the equation, will make you lose the human experience. I was at a concert the other day. Listen to this. I was at a concert the other day, and I noticed that everyone was so busy cataloging pictures for Facebook or God knows what else they were going to post it on, that they weren't really there. They weren't experiencing the show.
I completely agree.
They were too busy saying, oh, look at me, that I was here already, and it hadn't even started, and they're probably ready to go right after they had those pictures.
Yeah, I hear you. Wow.
So that really has to take us to the point of where are we losing our human experience, where are we losing our connectivity to each other, and does that make us zombies?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I kind of get a little fearful of social media, but, I mean, you know, look at how fearful everyone was when cable TV hit. It was the same way when TV itself hit. They were like, oh, we're going to the idiot box, and these people were going to, you know, like, so, I don't know. We'll just have to digress, and we'll have to try to be more interactive as human beings. But, so that sort of thing. What's your name, by the way? I'm sorry.
My name is Maddie. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, your name is Maddie? Uh-huh. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia. Where are you located?
I'm in the wonderful city of New Orleans, Louisiana.
New Orleans, okay.
Which is kind of a zombie, you know, kind of ground zero for some zombie stuff and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I've been there.
Aaron does read at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in New Orleans. So.
And Reverend Zombie's House of Voodoo.
Oh, you still at Reverend Zombie's too? Okay, they're both.
Well,
okay.
I do one day a week there. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's my day that I'm there during the day. I'm usually I work in night shifts, which is but,
okay.
But yeah, if you ever come to town, Maddie, you gotta come in and see. We have a lot of wonderful. Actually, Marie Laveau's has a wonderful display, ranging from West Africa, Haiti, and then finally New Orleans, and it just shows how a lot of Yoruba iconography was kind of blended with Catholic, and then finally to create Budan in the city. So it's really interesting. So,
well, I should come in. I should plans to be there in 2015.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah,
so
that's
about, you know,
where I do readings is one of those places where you definitely stop in. That's like, you know, that's one of the things that you, like, you know, if it's not on your itinerary, it's like you'll walk by and go, oh, you got to walk in there, you know, so that's a good thing. Did you have a situation where you felt you're in kind of a zombification situation, or did you have a question?
I have a question. I have a question. What do you... I have this friend, and he doesn't live in the state that I live in, and we're going to see each other in October, but I called him the other day, and I asked him, what about this summer? What about if he meet me somewhere? We meet up somewhere and spend some time together, maybe a tropical area, and I want to know I want you to see, check in for me and see if you see that.
Where does he live?
He lives in Missouri.
Missouri?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And you live in Hotlanta, and he lives in Missouri. Okay. And let's look. Go ahead. What was your question?
I was gonna say something, but I'll let you go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm going to ask you, I have three different decks I'm working with, red, gold, and kind of a blue. So which one?
Oh, red, gold, and blue. I like all three colors.
Well, now you're going to close your eyes and get into spirit and ask your spirit guide which one.
Blue.
Gold, okay. You know you picked the wrong one, right? No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. That was a joke. That was a joke.
You said blue. No. She actually picked the one I was thinking in my mind, actually.
No, there was no wrong one. That's one of my little exercises I do, so that way you can connect with spirit, and that way you can kind of get a little more interconnectivity with your subconscious.
Okay.
And that way it's easier for me to access. All right. Okay, Mr. One moment. Actually, if you could, would you mind saying his name out loud? So that way, I want to make sure that when I shuffle into your thoughts, I'm connecting with him and not with somebody else you might have in the past or something like that.
His name is Sylvester.
Sylvester. Okay, one moment. Okay, that's all I need. Okay. He's a little trepidatious right now. That's a good thing though, because trepidation. He's a little cautious, there's a little fear there because I think that he's a little covetous of the situation. He wants to make sure it goes well. He wants to make sure that you guys connect in a positive way and. He kind of doesn't want to blow it. But that means he's kind of tippy-toeing into the situation a little bit.
Wow.
Okay. That's not a bad thing for you because that means that he really cares about the situation. Okay. Right now, the first card I got about it is the Eight of Pentacles inverted. The Eight of Pentacles shows somebody hard at work pounding out these textiles and these gold leafed plates, and everyone's really impressed by their work. So when we have it inverted, it means that maybe he needs to, do you know what he does for a living or how busy he is? Because it looks like, I think he would like to have this be effortless and not be, I think he's a little bit of, I don't want to say the word neurotic. I already said it, oops. I think that he may be a little... He needs everything to kind of fit perfectly in the place. But, again, I think that has to do with him wanting this really to go well when you do meet.
Oh, I see.
Right, yeah. I mean, you could be a little neurotic about it if he thinks, how long have you two been talking?
It'll be a year in August.
See? That's a long time.
That's a long time, yeah.
And you haven't met before.
Yeah, we did meet. He did come to the state that I live in May, but he was a little disappointed with something, and he kind of backed off. I was not feeling that well when he came. I asked him to come over, and he came over, and my back was really bothering me. My lower back bothered me sometimes. In fact, the following day, I had to get up and go see my doctor. He was a little disappointed with that. Then he kind of shied away.
Okay. Let me ask him. All right. I'm getting the same thing again. But yeah. Okay. All right. He's just a little. It's a little neurotic. Okay. He likes to have things set in his own little box and his own little. Area and his own little thing, and it's just, this is why I think that he's going to have to get to know you but it's going to have to be on his terms. Something in your initial meeting kind of skewed from whatever his itinerary was.
And I think it was because he doesn't like my language. Just say if he asks me, I think he said he has to get to understand my language. Like, I like to tease a lot. He may ask me about sex, and I might not say yes or no. I might say, oh, well, maybe so. You know, we'll see. He doesn't like that. He like yes or no.
Well, I also got the emperor right side up.
Control.
So this is what I want to say. Oh, look, Daniel Michael's like, oh. So he's going to be very... Hello, can you hear me?
I hear you, yes.
Yeah. He's going to be very cautious till you kind of become his lady, and then the emperor comes out.
And you know
what an emperor is like. An emperor is in charge. He has to admit. Now, it's right side up. I think that he's kind of like a control freak.
Oh.
I think that he's a little neurotic, a little OCD, and he's a control freak, so you're going to have to kind of bend over backwards to curtail what you're doing to fit into his life. Now, that's not necessarily a terrible thing. If indeed you feel like you need some sort of a structure or a man to come in and be... But see, the thing is, the way he's at, he wants to be the emperor, but there's a little... I don't want to say there's a little effeminate quality, but... Maybe there's, I don't know, I wouldn't say if it's feminine. Basically, he's being a little bit cautionary to want so much power in the relationship.
Oh.
So to me, that's almost a tug of war. That's almost contrary. So I don't want to say that he might have some emotional issues, but maybe he's working through that. We all have emotional issues, so that's not a big deal. Let me ask if... whatever he's got going on or whatever's going on with him emotionally would be safe for you to interact with. There's no big, giant red flags. So let me ask that. Hold on.
Is there no big... other thing that bugged me a little bit, when we first started talking, he did explain to me that I would have to be the one that really take the lead, because he's on the quiet side.
So he's acting like that, but he's going to need you to do exactly what he wants you to do. Wants, yeah. Because the emperor.
Oh.
You know, I everything I got about him was quiet from Jump Street. Very
cautionary
and quiet. And then, I'm telling you, that's when the velvet hammer comes down. See, he already told you, I don't like the way you talk.
Yes, yes, yes.
Who tells somebody they don't like the way they talk?
Because my language, I speak language pretty much like vibrational energy. What are you talking about, energy? Resonate. No, just terms when the people in the metaphysical, spiritual world speak, and he doesn't understand that. You're like, what are you? Oh, man.
You need him to meet you. Look, you need him to meet you in the middle. He might want to act like he wants you to be the aggressor, but being the aggressor and being in control of the relationship are two different things.
Yes.
You know, you could be aggressive and not have any control.
But he does.
You know?
Otherwise, he does like to be in control.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's the emperor. Now, it's not necessarily a terrible thing, okay?
Okay.
You could have two personalities like this, and it works out. That's what I'm asking right now, if there's any psychological issues that you have to worry about. Is there anything...
I don't know. See, that I don't know.
I'm not asking you. I'm asking my spirit guide.
Oh, I see.
I want you to be safe. So, yeah, let me ask.
Okay, Darren.
Yeah, hold on a second. Is there any psychological issues with Sylvester that we need to worry about? Look, he just... He just is. I think he's dropped the ball. He's been a little bit introverted, and he's kind of felt like he's dropping the ball as a man. That he's not being the kind of man that he wanted to be and could look up to. And I think that he can do that again. He can get back there. But when he gets into a relationship, he's gonna want to be like, I'm the man, this and that, and I got to do manly stuff.
I don't mind that.
So that's what I'm not seeing anything crazy, is my point.
Okay.
He's a little introverted and weird right now because he hasn't had a lot of friends. He hasn't been going out just living the life of Riley or Walter Mitty or any of that stuff. He's just been kind of doing his thing, and I, you know, the Eight of Pentacles infers that he's been working a lot or just doing other stuff, and that's why maybe, I don't know, did you guys meet on a website or?
No, he's someone he's someone I went to school with, and I guess he was very quiet because I remember just about every boy in my class, but I don't remember him. But the key thing is he remembers me well, and from his story, he have always admired me. But I don't know, you know, I question that. But he said he did, so because I just don't remember him.
Okay, he did go to your school though, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I didn't want to look. He made up a story. You know,
yeah, he did go to my school. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He he's not dangerous or anything like that. He's been trying to come out of his shell for a very long time. And him being everything to a woman and is part of one of his goals is to just have that wonderful give and take with somebody so he can be. But see, the big thing is he's respected as emperor. And emperor is, you know, like Caesar. He's like the man, you know, he's in charge, he's the emperor, he's the leader. And, you know, that's not a bad thing, but I don't know. Here's my big problem with you two together. You are a veteran of some very adult relationships. You're going to have to deal, he's going to have to play catch up a little bit.
I'm going to have to play catch up?
He's going to have to play catch up.
Oh.
He's emotionally not as evolved as you are. Now, if you can deal with that, then you're good.
Okay.
You know, sometimes that happens. You know, sometimes you meet in the middle. Let me ask one more thing here. Hold on. Is this going to be, what can they look forward to? All right. One second. Yeah, it might be difficult. I don't know. I'm seeing the Two of Swords inverted right now. I would say date and just city, but it's, I don't know, I keep your options open. the Two of Swords means you're going to have a hard time compromising with this guy. That little conversation we had about verbiage and how you talk and all that, I mean, it's, you don't want to run in circles with that sort of conversation all the time.
No, I do not. I know when I asked him, what about if we meet somewhere, the tropical island, he said, wow, why didn't you tell me that last week? I just went out. He loves the dress. I just went out and spent, you know, these thousands of dollars on suits, a couple of suits and da-da-da. And then during the conversation, he said, you know what, maybe I might take you up on that, you know. And then he said he'll get back with me. And that was the other day, on Thursday or Friday, when I spoke with him.
Look,
and
you want me to break it down?
Do
you want me to just tell you? You ready?
Yes.
This guy is too neurotic for you to deal with on a long-term basis. You can go out and have fun, enjoy yourself, hang out with him, but you're going to find out very quickly that he's too neurotic. Okay, you ask him to meet you, and he's like, well, I spent X and X money on suits. Like, okay, so, like, I don't... It's the energy I'm getting, Frank. I'm trying to see you two together, and it just... He's too cagey, and the thing is, see, he's not saying, no, I don't want to meet you. He's saying, give me a week and a half to plan it down to the smallest detail.
He's very,
very detailed-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. Here's a problem with people like that. Let's say you screw up one of the details. What do you think is going to happen?
Oh, yes.
What happened last time you changed your program on him? Would you have to go to the doctor or something?
Oh, yeah, my back was bothering me, and he couldn't have, I couldn't have sex with him, so he,
Well, you changed the itinerary, right?
Didn't work out
too well.
Yes.
Nobody was happy about that, right?
No, he was not happy about that, so he left, and he spent 2 weeks in this area, and he only came over once.
Yeah. So I think that he has an idealized version of you from school. He also has his version of you from talking, but he's just not. This is somebody that needs to. I got the Eight of Cups inverted, and this is, if you want to know about him, you need to look up the Eight of Cups and then look up the reverse of it, because this is somebody that should walk away from all kind of old negative women. He has this whole thing where women are going to be negative or not going to appreciate him or not treat him like the emperor. The thing is, he needs to walk away from that. And if he's going to get to know you a little better in person, two people in person, then he needs to release all those other old feelings.
I see. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Eight of Cups shows somebody walking away from all kind of old, nasty, just bad feelings. And that's what you need when you get Eight of Cups.
I see. Okay. Because I thought maybe he was a little gay, you know, which is nothing wrong with
it. That's why, remember I said feminine? He wants to be respected as the emperor, but he's got a little feminine stuff. I didn't want to say that casually unless I was pretty sure, but now you're saying that now.
It's a thought that came to my mind. You know, if he said he doesn't approach women, women approach him.
I mean, and that's another thing, too, is like,
I said, you don't approach women. He said, no, women approach me.
I got a lot of feminine energy. But he wants to be respected as emperor, but maybe, you know what I mean? Maybe he is in a different type of emperor, if you get my meaning. Like, I don't know. I'll tell you what, Matt. We don't, Daniel Michael, chime in on this. If you've been talking to a woman for a year and you're trying to get together with her, would you worry about how much money you spend on a, you know, I mean, like, it's just.
In fact, if you're really concerned about it, almost every other concern falls away.
Yeah, it's just.
If you're really into her, you'll start picking up with whatever the detail doesn't work. You'll be like, well, I guess we'll work that out, but hey, let's hook, you know, hey, let's get together.
Yeah, we don't care. Do you care about the small details when it comes to situations like this, Daniel Michael?
No, not in the least.
No, I don't care. I don't care what car I'm driving. I don't care. You know, like, I mean, that's, and the thing is, I hate to say that that's a female thing, but it's a feminine thing. It may not be specifically female, but it's you guys want to know, like, I got to have the perfect dress to meet this guy. I've got a perfect thing. I got to have the thing. Like, it's a lot of minutia that really, the guy thought process is, let me just get there. And maybe part of it is the physical, you know, interaction, but part of it's just the experience. I want to meet this person. I want to meet somebody new. And we're big, weird men that we just want to go and say, all right, let's go ahead with this.
Men want to play and then figure out and remember what the details were. not set them up ahead of time.
I told him, I said, something missing in my life. This is after he went back to his home, after he came and we spoke. I called him. I said, you know, something is missing in my life. I say, I have to go in my soul and find out just what it is. So I called him back and I said, a couple of days later, I said, you know what? I told you something was missing. I say, I like you, but I need to spend more time with you. I put my cards on the table and I said, why did you give me all of this? Why did you give me all of this attention before you came? You, I would hear from him two or three times a week. If I call, no problem. He would call me back.
You want me to tell you? You ready?
Why?
Because then he could act like he kind of has a pseudo girlfriend or something online. That's like he's going through the motion. The male motion of like here's a woman in my life, we have this interaction, but then when it comes to actually having that interaction in a physical space, then everything gets very controlled and weird and neurotic and stuff because, you know, maybe. You
maybe
know,
he
you
really
know
doesn't
I mean?
Like women. Is that it? He does he really like women?
I don't think he does. No. I really don't.
Okay.
I think that he's trying to act like he wants a girlfriend, so that way he feels he's not. He probably needs to come out of the closet, probably.
Probably, yes. Okay. So I can forget about that. Okay.
Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, it's. Now, he'd probably be a top him and his boyfriend, whatever, but you know what I mean? Like, but he'd probably be the emperor in that situation because he wants to be respected, but it's just, yeah. Yeah, he's definitely, and the thing is, too, I mean, that's, you've had this kind of, you know, metrosexual sort of, you know, and it's like this interaction with him. I mean, men, we want to, unless he, look, did he look bad when you met him? Did he have some sort of weird growth on his face or anything like that?
No, he just wears a little mustache, but I tell you what, he loves to dress well. He's a well-dressed.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he didn't have any reason for you not to meet him in his physical character.
Right.
No, it was more the fact that he wanted to maintain a relationship with a woman so that way he could say, oh, you know, to the guys at the office and so, yeah, I talked to this lady, or just say to himself, because that is propping himself up as a heterosexual person.
Oh, but in reality, he's not. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of the time, now see, we're sexual beings. We're human beings.
Yes,
so we want sex.
Yes.
So a lot of the time, if we're not getting it in one way, shape, or the other, we're going to get it in another way.
Yes.
So he could be doing anything from doing a dip into some little bar or whatever in Missouri somewhere, or he could be just online doing weird stuff or whatever. You know, but he's... So, and the other thing he's doing is saying, hey, I'd like to know you, so that way it substantiates some sort of heterosexual interaction. So, you know, it makes himself feel better.
Oh, I see. Well, that's,
I didn't
very
want to say the whole feminine thing right off the rip. I really didn't, because if you had a chance, but as I kept dipping into it, it's like there's just too many things that, you know.
Yeah. I kind of felt that. I thought about that, but I wasn't sure because you got to be around a person. So I don't think I'm going to call him. I put it out there.
I would, you know, and I don't want you to just go on what I'm saying, but I got to tell you, I got that real cagey, fake, neurotic sort of energy from him. And that's, I got that screaming out. Everything else is just, I mean, unless you're willing to deal with that, and then at the end of the day probably find out something you don't want to find out, I wouldn't waste your time probably. So.
Yeah, okay.
Now, well, here's a good thing. Like, on a good note, I'm going to maybe let's ask if Maddie goes out to Little Five and wants to go maybe, like, put out some good energy, maybe meet somebody new. Let's look at that real quick. 1 second.
Okay.
Okay, good. Your initial couple weeks, not so much. Hang in there. The fourth week you go out with your girl. You got some girls, right? You got like 3 girls you can link up with?
A girlfriend?
Yeah.
Yes, I have a couple of girlfriends I can hang out with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm getting a good feeling on 3. Get more than 2. You probably got 2, 1 or 2, or maybe just the 2 of you go out. Get a group. Go out. I'm not saying go to Little Five. I don't really know what's there anymore, to be honest, but I used to live in Savannah. But go somewhere where there's, you know, and hit a couple different spots. You're going to meet some annoying person the first 3 weeks. You might have a couple of different phone calls. That's not the right person. The second person you meet will be intelligent, articulate, have the kind of career where they're doing a lot of communicating, like marketing, that sort of thing. And that's the person, and you're a little bit younger than you, but that's okay. And you guys are going to have some fun together, I think, in the next 3 months.
Okay.
So
okay. All right.
And
so
just
go out
there and be positive and know you're going to do it.
All right. You say go out in the next 3 weeks. Go out.
No, you go out in the next, okay, go out at least once a week for the next 4 weeks.
Go out
you
at least
probably,
once a week.
You, the first person you run into is probably not going to be the right person. The second person you meet, it'll probably be on the 4th week, will be articulate, intelligent, expressive. He's a page of swords, and because he's a page, he's a little bit a scooch younger than you. That's okay. Don't worry about that.
Uh-huh.
You're just going to have some vibrant, fun, exuberant energy, and that's great. Link into that and go out and have a nice time. Am I telling you you're going to get married? No, but, you know, at least maybe through the end of the year, it'd be somebody to, you know, spend some time with and get to know and And who knows what will happen after that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. It was nice talking to you.
It was. It was fun. And I got some things kind of cleared up in my mind. Okay.
Okay. Good. Right. Have a nice Sunday. And then just to let everyone know, if you want to get in touch with me for a private reading, dbucare@gmail.com. Okay. Thanks
okay.
again, Maddie.
All right. Thank you again. Have a great evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Okay. And the mic is off. And one comment I wanted to make when...
Oh, yeah, shoot it, roll it out there, sir.
And when you had mentioned, it was a good point, though, because she was talking about, is he gay or something like that, and you were thinking, well, maybe that's possible, but you mentioned, was there something he should be dramatically insecure about, like something, because that's also, I was thinking terminal shyness, that was the vibe I was getting, control, shyness, introverted people are often control freaks, it sounds...
nobody realizes that
yeah.
when you're introverted, when you do bring that person out of their shell, then they suddenly become the emperor, they become that
right.
person.
And sometimes they are introverted because... they're in situations, and they're like, wait a minute, I want to be in the one I can control. And when they're out in public, it's a bunch of people hanging out and having fun and being, you know, normal and everything. I'm making fun of one of my introverted friends when I say that. But and they just like, I'm not controlling the situation. Why am I here? You know, this is
that introverted person, they're not in their comfort zone at that point.
Yeah, and it's to the extreme with introverted people. So I wasn't sure if I was getting a gay vibe from this guy, but with some of the things, and again, I want to say that there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. We're just making a point.
Oh, yeah, no, there isn't anything wrong with it, but obviously she doesn't want to be with somebody.
Right.
She's looking for a heterosexual relationship.
But sometimes
people
are that shy.
And again, I hope no one at all looks at that was at all saying there's anything wrong with him being gay. Not at all.
Right, I was just clearing that up. I think
You know what is wrong? Is he's not admitting it to himself, I don't think. You know,
right.
So he should be a little more in touch with himself. And misleading somebody into having a heterosexual or possibly sexual relationship, you know, opposite sex relationship, and leading them on for a year isn't a positive thing to do. That's not positive.
Right. It's not good for either of them.
No. Yeah. Unless you're clear that it's a friendship, and then it's a friendship. You know?
Right.
At first I was also just thinking
maybe just a major insecurity, like, you know, sometimes people, they could be impotent, but they still want to have sex. I mean, I know I'm talking about very deep things here, but they could maybe have been in a terrible accident and there's something deformed, and then they meet in person and they're like,
mm-hmm.
God, you know, now they're going to see
people,
that, you know,
people can,
I'm missing
then
part of my
have,
arm.
They
or
have
something.
Different, I think there's like stratas of energy that I tap into, and what I get from the veneer of him was very like, very cagey, very neurotic, very shy, but then right under the shyness was like a very like aggressive tendencies towards control. And then underneath that, a lot of weird, not weird, but like, you know, a lot of feminine energy. And then, you know, so the more I kept digging, it was like, okay. Because then what we do is like, you know, we all have stuff that we do that we want anyone to know. Well, you recess that in your energy. So definitely deep recessed into this guy's energy was some deep stuff. And the more I dug, the more, like, it was coming out. I was like, okay. That's why, because I said, I want to be sure that there's nothing too quacky, you know, because when we meet people like that, you know, you never know. You don't want them to, like, dump you in a basket of Brussels sprouts or anything like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But
I think we give her some insight and she'll be okay to move forward. I mean,
yeah, I think
it's a shame. We spend so much time talking to people and it's not in person, and it just, you almost know. I think she knew on some levels before any of these like situations happened that there was something a little that she couldn't abide, you know, on some levels.
Yeah, and I wanted to comment on relating it to the zombie point because it was something you mentioned or brushed on earlier, that
mm-hmm.
a zombie in the real world sense, and I think the caller even mentioned it earlier about people that are asleep or unaware of what's going on or what opportunity is there for them. And I could consider that in the real life as a zombie, someone that's unconnected from their will or from love or from destiny or from God, and people that are disconnected and just walking through life. They're born on this earth, they're told they're supposed to work in the factory, and that's what they do, and then they retire, and they expire, and they die. And they never live their true vibration, their true purpose, their true actual reason for being. Now, I believe, personally, I believe that we live many lives. I believe we reincarnate into many, many, many lives. That's my personal belief. You don't have to share that. But I think that is a huge part of what I consider to be a zombie, is someone that does not know their connection to spirit or to their own purpose.
Or they're denying it, or they know it and they don't, they're battling it, or, you know, any number of different things. It is the antithesis of every nuance of who I am, is that whole zombified. I just don't understand. That's just, I think the vibrancy of life and joy of life and joie de vivre and all that stuff, I mean, it's like, really, roll. If you don't like something, change it. That's what I think,
right.
You know, I mean. If you think you can't for some reason, then maybe you should dig into why not, you know, and then, I don't know, I still would say try to change it. I mean, that's all. I mean, a lot of the problems people have with changing something is, oh, you know, I love somebody and they won't change, and what do I do? And you know, if they're not open to any even talking about changing, then I don't know. You know, like, maybe you shouldn't be with that person. That's it, and that's a strength of character in yourself. So let's touch. Is there anything you want to say about zombies, Daniel Michael? Because I have some stuff.
Well, we also have another call here. What I want to do is take a very brief and then come back.
Okay.
I know who the next caller is here, and I'll take a brief break and come back. And, yeah, we'll continue with this. And I definitely agree with your point. And when we come back, we'll discuss some of the aspects of living like a zombie versus living for, you know, your will or living for destiny or passion or life. And what you've done, that's one of the things I like about you. I mean, you kind of do what you want for a living. And you do what you're passionate about for a living. It's what you wake up and do. I'm sure it's taxing and it has its own trials and tribulations, but you do and have said, okay, this is what I am and this is what I'm going to do. You've taken control over it. And
well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's I do, and I'm kind of ridiculously happy sometimes, you know, because I just don't have any work stress. I mean, I still get stressed out. I have to talk to people about all kind of jamminess, you know, that they're going through and court cases and all kind of stuff. But honestly, I like helping people, which I enjoy. So.
Absolutely. And that's how it all is. It's like, okay, well, there's always a problem with anything. There's a problem with driving your car, but you still want to have a car, right? You know, so it's always that. But anyway, we'll be right back, folks. And we'll discuss more about zombies and take another call. And maybe some more readings and everything else. You're listening to Spiritual Insight with your host, Darren Bouquet, on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
everyone, and we're back, and welcome to Spiritual Insight with your host, Darren Bouquet. I'm Daniel Michael, the co-founder, co-creator of the Main Street Universe Radio Network, of which the show is on, and we are a show that is not any longer one show, as it was when it started, but a network of seven shows now. So it is, of course, this one, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday evenings, Spiritual Insight with Darren Bouquet as your host. He's a reader at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in the magical city of New Orleans, as well as Reverend Zombies. On Monday evenings, Kevin Baird, who can be reached at www.templeofgaia.com, and with his show, Walking on the Sidewalk, A Horizon Oracle's Journey. And his website has his oracle deck he created, the Horizon Oracle, as well as artwork and other things. So be sure to check it out, as well as a phone app that has been created for the Horizon Oracle. And what a great accomplishment that is. I'm very proud that he was able to make that happen. And everything about what we're doing is growing, folks. And now, Tuesdays, 10:30 a.m. is Inner Wisdom with Mary Thielen. She's been on television for 14 years with her show Telepathic TV. Be sure to check it out. Her partner there on her show, Neville Johnston on Telepathic TV, has a great book about neuro-linguistic programming. And it's one of my favorite books of his, Neville Johnston. But anyway, back to the lineup. On Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time is Main Street Universe, the original flagship show, the one that started it all. And that is with myself and hostess Janice R. White and Mr. Brett Hillman. So it's three interesting perspectives from three different points of view on some issues, and we agree on others. And at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Main Street Universe. Then, of course, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, in the afternoon, daytime, but not a.m., is Queen Mother Imaku with her show Tua Uat, and she's from the Kemetic African Egyptian Order, and a high priestess of that order. I'm sorry, it's Uat Tua, I said it in reverse, forgive me. And her perspective is very unique and interesting. A lot of people even forget that Egypt is, in fact, in Africa. So she talks about African heritage in Egypt and the magical practices and the religious practices there. So that's 1 p.m., Queen Mother Imaku. Then, of course, Fridays, we have a new host, and his show is called Adams in the Eve. And it comes on, I think, at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. If not, that'll be clarified in a minute. And then later that night, at midnight, is Jessie Ann Nichols-George with Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. And she's the author of two books, Activating Compassion and Activating Compassion, the Companion Workbook. We're going to go ahead and bring Darren back on. Our discussion tonight is zombies. Welcome back, Darren.
Hello, yes. So zombies. There are many cultures that have a way to actually suspend life in a sort of kind of a purgatory or kind of a muted coma sort of state, or trap the soul in the body in a kind of a semi-dead state and actually manipulate that soul to manipulate the body. These are modern day or actually documented cases of zombies. So the art is very real. It's very, very documented in a lot of levels. How much people believe in this, you know, the documented cases, and then how much, how can we prescribe to this or utilize this on a daily basis? I mean, these are all very hidden practices. I can say that a lot of it is island-oriented mysticism. A lot of it is powerful, Congo or Middle African or Brazilian practices, but this is definitely possible. It is actually possible to suspend somebody's spirit in a inanimate object, in a doll or in a chair or in a pot. So all these things, to the best of my knowledge and the best of my experience, are yes possible. Can anyone do it? I'm gonna go ahead and say no. I don't think you have to be a very, very, very special sort of person. And you've got to have a very, very, very special reason to even try something like that. Some people will try it anyway, and they're probably going to reap some sort of wondrously terrible karmic debt for that. And I would never be one of those people. However, so is zombification a reality? Is it the movie sense of zombies and that sort of thing? No, it's not. Because, honestly, I don't think the body will ever be reaching a point of full death. That's my point, is that the body, when something dies, the cells stop knitting together and stuff. So can I put a soul in a body and ask it to reanimate it up and move around and... it would just be a lot more difficult than putting a soul in a body that could say was still alive or barely alive and animating it that way.
So it could be perhaps more accurately stated that it half dead rather than undead or once dead.
I would say that if you're going to talk about modern stories that have to do with zombification, In zombification as a reality, you have to talk about a half-dead either victim or someone who willingly became that zombie. Or mostly dead, 75%. You know, like...
like the Princess Bride.
But the body has stopped...
Mostly
because
dead.
Because I've had a lot of conversations with people, let's say, that are in the funeral business that are, because the cells... I could animate, I could put spiritual energy into a glass and animate it if I did the right thing, okay? Or a cup or a chair. However, for appendages and things to move around and do difficult tasks, they need to be able to, the musculature needs to move. So in order for that to happen, unless you have mammoth spiritual energy, let's say like a giant, like a really intense poltergeist or something. And at that point, why would you even be bothering to move around a dead body? So at that point, it becomes like just kind of obsolete. If you have the kind of immense energy to fill a body up or re-knit cells back together, if the thing is dead, it has necrotic tissue. So, I mean, it's complicated, but if you have that kind of intense spiritual energy, then you'd probably be better off just sending an airy spirit to do something that you want him to do, or asking for it to do.
If you have that kind of energy, you might be better off just trying to heal people that are here.
If you have that kind of energy, then you probably should use it for something positive, yes, and not trying to reanimate dead bodies and things. Yeah, that would be kind of silly.
And
there's a word... necromancy, it is associated with all sorts of negative stuff for a reason.
Yes.
Because it's just... Now, the necromancy that calls dead things that are spiritual is terrible. It can be very terrible in a sense. The necromancy that reanimates dead things is a whole other level of scary. So.
Yes, and I'm going to open the conversation up to 618. Welcome, 618.
Hello, how are you?
Very
well.
Good.
We're welcome, breaking up a little bit there.
Hello.
Okay.
Anything to bring to the table on this topic, Kevin?
What do you think about that? Do you know much about those entities?
About what? I'm sorry.
I think we missed the first half, Kev.
The Hebrew.
Hello?
You're breaking up.
Okay, I'm speaking the best that I can. I got network issues
can hear you. It's broken up, but I can hear
Hebrew,
you.
The Hebrew spirits, are they spirits or are they...
Okay, can you hear me any better now?
A little bit better. Yeah.
Okay.
Are you talking about like a homunculus or a golem or a...
Yeah, golem.
Oh, golem. Well, that's... Yeah, I guess a golem is real tissue sewn together. Yeah, I mean, that's... But that's a... See, that... Okay, so yeah, you're right. I mean, that's totally a valid point. A golem is still like some sort of reanimated man thing, except the thing is, when it becomes a golem, it's not a man. There's no... It's not a spirit anymore. It's just a... It's a magical construct.
I think it's their version of...
Frankenstein. Hello?
I'm here.
Your signal is horrible, Kevin. I apologize.
Yep.
Yeah, that's really... I'm really glad you brought that up, because, yeah, like the golem thing, I mean, that's... But, again, you have to have intense magical energy to do that, and, of course, the Kabbalah has that sort of intense, the Tree of Sephiroth, the Sephiroth, utilizing that. But the thing is, it's that doesn't... I wouldn't say... I mean, it certainly falls under the zombie umbrella, but knowing what I know about magical practices and ceremonial magic, to me, a golem is simply a magical automaton of sorts.
Now, I have a question, Darren. Have you ever known someone and or witnessed yourself someone creating a sort of magical being that they claimed from something like a homunculus? I know what that is. You know, some say it's a pumpkin that's injected with certain things and then charged with energy, and they can get messages from it, or it maybe animates, or some object that animates. Have you ever met someone that claimed to be able to do this practice in your journey?
I've never met anyone that has claimed to do this practice. The first things that I talked about as far as the zombification, the transferring spirits into objects and things, that is a different story. I have met people that have, you know, attested to stories about that. Now, the whole homunculus, golem thing, I mean, that's... I've actually had a couple conversations with peers of mine that I feel that have enough power that I felt that if we really sat down and really wanted to do something and spent maybe a year researching it, I think it's entirely a possibility that it might be possible. If that makes any sense, I think that it's possible that it might be possible. But the intense study that would have to go into even edging towards that, in the intense mental preparation, anywhere from fasting, the Enochian, like, you know, like all that stuff. I mean, you really have to spend
physical, mental, spiritual all around, basically.
Yeah, I think that I've seen too many things in my life that I thought were never possible that I would never discount that at all.
And if anyone does ever invite you to that party, then please let me know, because I would like to witness it.
You know, that's just the kind of thing that you can't erase from your head. You can't erase that. I can't erase things that I've seen, spirits hanging from hangman trees in the middle of the day, things that I've seen. I can't erase that. And they're life-changing events for me. So am I ready to see a clay puppet turn into a little man and start dancing around the table? I don't know if I am. I don't know. Have I animated certain small objects and made certain things happen? Yes, I have. So am I able to, you know, do what? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It's something that you have to really ask yourself, is it necessary? And then what's the point?
That's also the only point, can sometimes just become discovery, ego, power, all sorts of things. Or even away from ego a little bit of how could you use such a power to help, of course. Maybe even another question. I would also like to mention that it's almost as if we've divided the tonight's topic into two different things, one being zombies and one being just plain animation. It's almost as if one is reanimation, and one is the mental condition of being a zombie. And I personally see the mental condition of being a zombie as something you mentioned earlier, as being disconnected from your destiny, from people.
Mm-hmm.
I think this technology can make us zombies, even though I'm on a technology show and it's my passion and my life, but I interact with people all the time. And technology can also bring you together as well. I think it's a matter of what do we do with it? How do we make it work for us? So I guess my next question might be, have you ever felt as if at a distance, because we're talking about zombification from social media and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let me shorten the question. Have you ever felt as if you've met someone that was on social media that was very controlled and
mm-hmm.
like your caller did, and you meet them in person and you're like, wow, they're completely different. I mean, and to me, that as well can be a zombie, is that idea of they're living a fake
life.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah, because they can't handle the actual... Every interaction with the human being is an exchange of energy. We're always exchanging energy. And if
right.
you are a cripple and you can't exchange energy with people, then you have to do it behind a screen or a laptop or whatever with a headset on, then that hobbles you as a person, and that can zombify you, certainly, most certainly.
Yeah. So some people can maybe be heroes on the screen and then zombies a person, and that was kind of what I meant to ask. I was going around the neighborhood a bit, but that's what I meant. Was,
well,
when
you
could
be anything on the screen. You could be a rock star, a celebrity,
okay.
a porn star. You can be a vocalist. You can be, this wonderful, creator of wisdom and everything, but in a real-time social interaction, maybe you can't carry that. Now that is not to say that those people don't, they're probably going to have some issues with really enjoying themselves on some levels, but maybe that's their comfort zone. Maybe they have a wonderful family at home and they don't need to be this mammoth extrovert in person. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's all sorts of levels. Where I get into, I feel like the negative is where people are getting involved with other people, like through social media, and then they misrepresent themselves, or they're doing, and meanwhile, there's somebody else who is buying whatever else is happening, and then they get sucked into this whole, meanwhile, this poor woman, Maddie, she's probably wasted a lot of her year thinking that on some way, shape, or form, she's probably building some sort of relationship with someone. That's a whole year of her life that she could have been, getting to know somebody else.
Did you guys talk about different levels of zombies, like corporate zombies and prison zombies, where you're just caught in that rote, I don't want to live, so I'm just going to disconnect kind of thing?
Yeah, on some levels. I mean, the corporate thing. We talked about people just not, not being present, just going through on autopilot.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, prison is going to be one of those places where you're just getting through your days on some levels. But the corporate zombie, I mean, that's something we can definitely touch on that. I mean, that's...
The scary...
Then those people they transform when it's, say, Friday night. And we're pounding beers and chicken wings, and we're, freaking out, and then it's, they got about a day to do that and then get ready and repeat cycle. So is that really, really living? I'm not sure.
No, because I think what you wake up and do every day should be something that makes you feel like you don't have to go party away from it. If you know what I mean. And believe me,
right.
I know, Saint, I love to party, and you live in New Orleans, which is, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Well, Daniel knows that firsthand, working for that retailer for the last year and a half or 2 years, right? You were a zombie.
I don't anymore. But now I'm pushing my voiceover business, and I'm working on a movie. I'm an actor, and I'm not getting paid for the movie, but it's going to be an amazing demo. It's going to be an amazing voiceover demo. And another interesting thing is, as I've been vibrating more in the artistic life of my own, more than once a day I had people saying to me, just as I'm talking to them casually, them saying, oh, you're lucky. You're lucky. You're lucky. Now, granted, I'm not at this point making big money or doing any of this. I'm just talking about my projects, and they're like, you're lucky. You're lucky. And
well, that's a message for you. That's
yeah,
totally
it's good.
For
it's
you.
A good thing. But it also makes me think, yes, I work. I'm working on these things. I don't know if I would call them luck, but it's also a great thing that people are feeling this vibration that they're around a lucky person, which was certainly not the case, say, when Kevin
no.
was discussing.
No.
You know.
Yeah.
When you would come into the store when I was there to do readings at Six and Stone, and you would come in and it just you just wanted to be around the energy, about be around some positive, buoyant energy because you had like two or so jobs. They weren't very uplifting. And you
right.
would just cruise around and buy incense, and we would all rap with you. And you know what? Bob was like, you know, man, this guy Daniel comes in all the time. I see him all the time. Even if he's just coming in to just rap for a minute, I'm glad we could just send out that energy to him, you know?
I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's how I met Kevin, too.
Look,
but back then,
yeah,
my energy was flat. I didn't have any esteem then.
I mean, look at that transformative energy, though. You know, I mean, that's what I try to do. And you know, those little things help me all the time. I wish I had a little more time to do, to finish this children's book or whatever. You know, I'm a little busy lately, but it's like, I mean, I think that it is really rewarding. If people don't have, when I look at someone's whole life, then that's when I do what I do when I do a reading, and I'm like, okay, if you're missing a creative outlet, then you need that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I look on your hand, if I'm in person, I could see it on your hand, or if I see a card, or if I get a message from my spirit guide and it says this person's not doing anything expressive to inspire themselves, then they need to do it. I don't care if it's like finger paints or mud pies, or I don't care. Like, it sounds retarded, but, you know, I don't know. Go out and do something expressive. It's really not that hard. Something
and
expressive.
It's true. It's so very true. And I remember, in fact, I remember the first reading I got from you, Darren. I mean, I only remember it to an extent, you know, but I do remember the one aspect you said instantaneously. I think the first aspect you did both a poem and a tarot thing in the shop, and you said when you were younger, people did not respect your intelligence or your ability or ambition. And you were like, that can change in the near future, but it hasn't been respected yet. That was totally true. So that one grabbed my attention, that I was kind of in a haze. I was not in a focused place. And it was
yeah,
definitely...
I was surprised. That's why I never look at people or how they dress or what they're saying, because as a reader, I can't look at that because it's just, I mean, because at that point I'd spoken to you a couple of times, but I didn't realize that you had the kind of wealth of intelligence and savvy that you do have. But looking at your hand, it was obvious immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And getting into your energy is that it was there. And then I looked back at your lifeline and the fact that it was missing in a couple areas, or you had probably had some breaks in it, or, I mean, it was obvious to me that you had some difficulties as far as being respected for your vision of things. So that can be debilitating too.
Right.
You know? So.
And some of them can be your own darn fault, as it was.
It can be. You know, we shouldn't blame other people for, you know, I mean, granted, I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. It's not the most resplendently culturally diverse or embraced.
Like me, Baltimore,
really,
you know, that it's very blue-collar and harsh, you know.
It can be, yeah. So I was not really, like, celebrated it for my... you know, literary tendencies and things, but on some level there's a wonderful, you know, Cleveland Institute of Art is world renowned, you know, like, so there's a lot of good things, but the thing is, I can't blame, you know, my environment for whatever was lacking in that, you know, and that's what you have to transcend. This is not, you know, what whatever difficulties you've had in the past, you just have to look into what can you do to enrich your life moving forward. So that's not easy sometimes, certainly not.
I like the quote, and it was from, and I know some people don't like him, some people do, but it was I thought it was a nice quote from, oh, I forget who originally said it, but I remember Michael Bernard Beckwith said it, if you're familiar with him, about, might have been Emerson, actually, about saying there's a difference between being an indigenous being and an endogenous being. An endogenous meaning is, indigenous meaning you're from an area. Endogenous means you make the area, or you become able to make it work in the area you're in.
Right.
So endogenous versus indigenous, and I always thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Hey, just so you guys know that neither of you are in the chat room. There's no presence for
Main
3 Universe
out
there.
Oh, yeah, I
stepped
out of it, unfortunately. I didn't know. I'll go back in
there. I'm... I think I'm there. Hold on. I'll press B.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, I'm looking, and there's no...
Da, da, da.
It's
a technical
mouth
or something. I'm there.
Okay,
I'm in the
chat.
Yeah. Well, I see Dan. Do you see any text in there?
I see Veronica. Yeah, smiling.
It's like doobies,
hello, Veronica.
Right? It's romper room.
Yes, hello, Veronica. By the way.
Hello, Veronica.
Veronica is in the UK, and it is 1:30 a.m. for them. She stayed up to listen to you.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you for tuning in, Veronica. We're talking about some real life situations where there's zombies, and also the rat race. Are you riding the tube to work? Are you minding the gap? Are you a little bored with your life?
I don't know.
I mean, yeah. it can happen.
You also have to mind the doors.
Mm-hmm.
You also have to mind the doors when you're getting on the lift.
Yes, mind the doors.
Anyway, we digress.
Yes, we digress. I think we can transcend the whole idea of, apathy in our situation. We just need to find that if we do have a job, then it's a little stultifying, it's a little boring, it's a little one-dimensional. We find that note where we can find inspiration and change it. I tell people all the time, take a class. Take a class that's in, pottery or transcendental meditation or, noodling.
We're running out of time. Time's running out.
Yeah, okay. So to wrap up, if you're interested in zombies and you like the popular culture, then, do some research. There's a lot of really great information out there. I wanted to thank Daniel and Kevin for co-hosting and calling in with me. Again, if you want a personal reading, you can get a hold of me at dbucare@gmail.com. Thanks again, and everyone have a great evening.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Darren. And our show page has actually crashed. But I'm going
Daniel,
to
Daniel, call me when you get a minute.
Sure, and we'll go right back to it. It's come back again, and we're here. And I want to thank everybody for joining us. This is Spiritual Insight with Darren Bucare. I'm Daniel Michael. The other person on the line is Kevin Barrett. And Kevin actually co-founded the show. We found it together. It's now become a 7-show network. Remember that the network is called Main Street Universe. And remember that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined. Have a great evening. And remember not to be a zombie. Enjoy possibility and embrace your destiny.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.